Welcome to episode 10 of Inclusion with Mansi. I'm your host, Mansi Chandorkar. Each week, we're going to discuss various areas of inclusion and how you can be an inclusion champion. This month, we will be hearing from parents of individuals with specific learning disability share their journey with us. Today, we're going to be in conversation with Preeti Bomra, who is a parent of three young girls, one of which we heard in episode 6 of this podcast. Welcome, Preeti, to Inclusion with Mansi. I'm so happy you're here to share your journey with us. Can you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah. Hi, Mansi. I'm Preeti Bomra, and I'm mother of three daughters, and I'm a homemaker. And a passionate artist by heart. I just enjoy my journey with my daughters till now. So that's it, yeah.
It's so nice to have you here. And your daughters are such a pleasure to be with. Like, they're all so different from each other, but yet so similar to each other. Can you tell me more about your daughters? What do you think are their strengths? What are they good at doing?
Yeah, my elder one, she's Pravi Bomra. She's 17 now. And I have twins, Parisa and Parina. They are 12. So their strength, basically Pravi, she is very, very, I could say that she is very positive. She's very confident. And she takes the, like, you know, she's not very, you know, hyper about anything. So that's the best part, I think, about her. Parina, she's very, very sincere on anything that she's doing. So that is a good part. If she lacks anywhere with her, that, you know, sincerity, she tries to catch up with wherever she's losing it out. And Parisa, she's my, again, a cool dude kind of a kid. But yes, she also is very confident, and whatever she's doing or she's trying to do, she takes her heart and soul in that, and she do it, like, you know, properly and fully.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, and which is so nice to have.
Right.
Like, all distinct personalities with their own things that they're so cool at doing. So what makes you most proud of each of them?
Yes, they are so connected to each other. They love, they fight, but still they are very possessive and very connected to each other. That makes me actually somewhere, you know, makes me feel very nice that, okay, that's really good that they are connected and they are very protective about each other. And otherwise, their individuality, like being three, staying together, they're three individuals, and they have different of opinions, but still, that, and they're confident in their own ways. That makes me feel very proud as a mother.
Absolutely. So today we are going to focus a lot more on Pravi. Pravi has been on the podcast earlier and shared her side of the journey with us.
Right.
So we would like to hear your side of the journey with Pravi in today's episode. So can you start with just telling us, when did you feel that there were some difficulties that Pravi was facing? When did you notice something, and what was that?
See, Pravi is my first baby. So, you know, when we started, till it was oral going on in the, you know, preschool, she was perfectly fine. When the writing was introduced, I felt she's slow. She's not writing it, you know, neat. So I thought she needs more practice. You know, being a, I was not aware of what is going on. Even the teacher said she needs more practice. So from there, we started figuring out, but it was something, okay, DB, sab bache ulta seedha likhte hain, that's perfectly fine. Then the spellings were introduced. In that also, she was struggling a bit. And I felt then she was younger in class. So then the teacher said, maybe because she is 6 months younger than the other kids, so she's facing it difficulties. But I could see that when she's facing difficulty, it should not be when she's orally telling me or explaining me. It was not there. It was lacking when it comes to writing all the time. Then sentences were introduced. So, but still, I thought maybe I'm lacking somewhere in teaching her, because I used to teach her. What is, I, how to teach her properly. You know, I was just trying to find out the way out. Maybe there is something that, but then it was in all the subjects. Like, you know, writing was, when she was explaining something, then the chapters are there. She was perfectly fine when we used to talk, I used to discuss with her, explain her the answers or the chapters. She was so smooth in explaining it. And she was very sharp. I could feel that.
Yeah.
But the thing was that when it comes to writing, I felt she started avoiding writing. You know, when I used to tell her, Mama, oral kara lenge, kar lenge, writing baad mein karenge. So,
yeah.
You know, so even she was not able to maybe figure out what's happening. And even I was trying to think what's happening. And I used to tell her, beta, every day we should start writing. The teachers, we all were like, you know, discussing and saying maybe she needs more practice. But then as gradually in the fourth standard, then in the school, you were there and you all figured out that she had the issues. And then we got her all the...
we went through a psychoeducational assessment in class four.
Yeah. And then we got to know that... she is facing with this problem, and this is not something that she's lazy or she cannot. It is something which we need to work out in a very different manner, not in the regular classes.
Yeah. And, it's not that she's purposely not writing or she's avoiding it for fun, or there's a genuine difficulty that she is facing when it comes to writing. So she did get some support. Who do you think was there to help you out with the processing of, okay, this is a diagnosis, how do I deal with this? Was it difficult to accept that there was a diagnosis?
See, I was very, very lucky to have this school, Orchid School, and you as a, like, you know, helper and as a special educator. And so, and I'm so happy that the teachers over there were so aware about the whole thing. They started dealing with Pravi in a very different manner after that. It was like, you know, in that school, she never felt like, you know, she's somewhere not as at par to the other kids. So that was the best thing about the school. And I just, I actually appreciate, I love, and I thank God and you all for all the love and support you had given to her. Because what she is now, the confidence, everything is because she got you all as a guiding teachers over there, and how to cope up with that.
Yeah.
And for me also, because you know, it was very difficult for me also. I mean, I did not know where to go, what to do. When I got to know it, someone told me, oh, she has to shift into a very different school, the handicraft, you know, handicap school and all that. So I was like, oh, really? Is it like, is it so different from the thing? But I said, but why can't I see that in my kid? Like, you know, if she is a handicapped or something, because people, you know, categorize it in a very different manner, I think, altogether.
Yeah, an understanding of what a learning disability is or what a learning disorder is not so common, unfortunately. And hence, we are all
people
here are trying to spread the awareness.
People are not aware.
Yeah.
People don't talk about it. Even the parents who go through it, they don't discuss with anybody. That is, I think... Yeah, that is a big taboo, I think. Yeah
which is unfortunate, because
I started this and people are getting aware of it. This is really nice, Mansi.
Thank you. No, my whole point is that the more people discuss their stories, share their stories, is when other people will realize, oh, you know, I'm going through pretty something similar to this, or my child is going through something similar. And that eventually, yes, there are things that are tough, but yes, there are things that are good, and I can figure out ways to overcome it. And that's where we need to, you know, go to. And you're absolutely right that being in a school which has a great mindset of inclusion makes a world of a difference. Because I know that once Pravi's changed schools, I think there is a little difference between how the schools are, you know, working with her.
Right. And I'm glad that, you know, till 10th she was here, so she is a confident and a stronger person now. If in a smaller class, you know, a kid is there where the teachers don't understand, still if they know what is dysgraphia, but still they don't know, You know, they know it. But how it works, like, you know, I think she also said in her interview that some of her teachers said, oh, you got more time, so you should get more marks. Why are you getting the less marks? So, I mean, come on. She's not getting more marks because she can write more. There is a reason why she is getting
more. Yeah, we need more time to process. So, yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that her new school felt like that. But again, that I am glad that she is learning how to self-advocate and speak for herself and say that, yes, these are my difficulties. Yes. These are my rights. These are things that I need to, you know, level the playing field, that I'm at par with everyone else, because I'm very capable of doing what everyone else is capable of doing.
Yes, definitely. And I'm actually so, so thankful to you, Mansi, for this, because the kind of confidence she has got is because of you. Because I remember when she used to come for the classes, when they were like, you know, about to wrap up, you used to tell them, if somebody tells you, you say, oh, so what if I cannot write properly? I have, you know, better... IQ.
She's really smart. IQ. She has above average IQ. Yeah. And plus, it doesn't matter how well I read or write. I have so many other things which I am good at doing. And each one has things that they're not good at doing. So I think what is important for each and every child to realize that, yes, I struggle with something, but I'm also cool at something else. So to, you know, help them discover what is it that they're cool at doing, and to empower them that you are going to be a self-advocate later on in life. I will advocate for you till you can't, but I will ensure you will be able to do it for yourself. So, you know, that's where remediation also really helps. You work on the basics. And I think that really helped her, because what she was also saying is that it's so ingrained inside that she doesn't think of it as much, and things come a lot more naturally.
That's true. So that is the best part, I think. Yes, it is done so nicely that she don't have to think. She can just, it's like, in it's a habit in her now. So that is the very, very good part.
So I'm sure you would also recommend other parents to send their kids for remediation if they feel that, you know, yes, they need to work on things. Right? Yes, so
definitely.
Thankfully for her, school was extremely supportive. How was the family's reaction? Did you have a discussion with family? Did y'all speak about what was happening, or it was just a matter of fact what was happening?
Yeah, no, it was just a matter of fact. Me and my husband, he was totally supportive. And I think, yes, we just knew that this is the situation and we just need to deal with it. And we want our daughter to be strong enough and just to be, you know, just she should learn how to get out of it and how to deal with the situation. So this was just a beginning of that.
Do you feel that her difficulties have changed over time from when they began to now?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Do you think they've vanished?
No. They cannot vanish, right? I mean, you know it as a teacher. They don't vanish. Yeah, they don't vanish. But yes, she can smartly handle them. She knows how to go with the, you know, you don't have to go on this path. Then you take a right turn or you take a left. Was the kind of remedies you guys teach them, the tips you give, so they know how to deal with
it. And that is an important point for other parents and other individuals to know that, you know, dysgraphia doesn't just vanish one day. It doesn't go away because you're an adult. Your difficulties change over time. You evolve with them and you learn coping mechanisms, and you may face different difficulties, but you will learn how to cope with that as well. So that will help you, you know, make things clearer for you and make you see things in a different way. So do you have any advice that you would like to give other parents?
I would just like to tell that, you know, if your kid is facing any kind of difficulty, please be positive and be confident. Don't panic, and especially not in front of a child. I totally understand we all are very possessive and we are very protective about our kids. But when these kind of things happen, we first feel, oh, aisa kyun ho gaya?
Yeah.
That's okay. It's also part of life. If something has happened, just you have to take it and take it strong. Because if you are strong and confident, the kids see that thing in you and they get the same thing from you.
Yeah.
So that is most, most important.
Absolutely.
You accept it and let the child accept. Because, you know, if you hide it and you say, don't tell to the others, don't do this, don't do that, they feel पता नहीं मुझमें कुछ खराबी है which I have to hide from the world.
Yeah.
So that again, which is not true, which makes the confidence low, which makes everything, you know, the beginning of the child, you know, the seed is only getting spoiled.
Yeah, I like what you said, that it is important to have an open conversation. It is important to accept it internally, because the child knows the difference when you are not really accepting, and they can sense that, oh, you know, like you don't think that there's something right with me or what is happening to me. Because from their point of view, it's really scary to know that, okay, like everyone else is doing it, why am I not able to do it?
True.
So to be there and support them really helps. Is there any story that you would like to share with us in your journey that you found fascinating?
With Pravi? Yes. I mean, I love it. I'm saying it again and again, but her being so confident is such a beautiful part of her, and being so positive. Because her other friends who are normal, like, you know.
We'll call them neurotypical, not normal, because I don't know what normal is. But yeah, neurotypical kids who don't have difficulties.
Yes, who have no difficulties. But, you know, they panic. And so when I see her, I just cross my fingers and I tell, thank God. Because, you know, with the difficulties, when she has the confidence, and as you know, she discussed it with you, she want to do majors in English.
Yeah.
And so that was again the thing. I was like, are you sure? Because you had, like, you know, difficulty with English and language. Like, she said, no, mom.
Yeah.
I will do with it. So again, she's confident now. I mean, sure, when she's confident, the things would work out the best for her. Definitely. So, yes.
Yeah. It is important that she is pursuing something she loves, and which I'm so happy to hear has to do with something which she was finding so difficult earlier.
Exactly.
But she is very creative. Yes. She has amazing thoughts.
Right.
And it's just a question of putting them down on paper.
Right.
And I'm sure she's learned a lot of strategies that help her with that now.
Right. And she's very hardworking. And now as she's writing her applications, her essays, herself, with the, again, the all the kids, they have the, you know, all kinds of so many people. The kids go to different teachers and they have all different kind of people guiding them. She said, I will write it and little bit of help from you and few of the teachers. So that's again, like, you know, she's so confident that I can manage to do it. So I'm just, yeah. So these all things make me really.
Yeah. And I love the way she talks to me about, this is what I want to do. And she is so clear about it that, you know, it feels really nice to see the kids grow up to be confident individuals who know what they want, can speak their mind, can advocate for themselves and pursue their dreams further. So, which I think is really awesome. So, I know we've spoken a lot about Pravi. And I know that Parisa also has a few difficulties with attention mainly, not a learning disability, but with attention quite a bit. Did it help that Pravi had a diagnosis, or how did this come about? Like, when did you start noticing?
Yes, with Parisa, it was me who insisted you all that we need to get the diagnosis done, because I felt with her, I was more confident that no, it cannot be like, you know, that she is focusing and it's not happening, because she cannot, as you know it, she cannot get into the time span, right? So she don't get what the time actually means. So it was very, so like, it was not normal for a child to, you know, sit for an hour to eat food. Okay, but still there are so many other things to get ready. When they are small, it's okay. But as they are growing up, you're tuned to do few things yourself. You know that, okay, 15 minutes and I will be down. But when it was not happening, I said, there's something wrong and I think we should get it done. So yes, I get some kind of intuition and some of at looking at her that, you know, there has to be some issue. Let's get it done. Why not? Let's do the,
Yeah. And it did help to explore and get the assessments done, because you were able to pinpoint that, yes, you know, attention is the area which is playing a major role in all these other things that she's finding difficult.
That's right.
And then to get appropriate help in that format for her. So I know she also has a long journey ahead of her to, you know, figure things out and learn the different coping mechanisms that would, you know, help her deal with how to manage her time better,
right,
how to focus better.
Right.
School has been supportive
of
her as well, right?
Right.
So not examination support, but it's the classroom support that she gets from her teachers.
Yes. But yes, in this now pandemic, it became more difficult for me because for her, she
online school is tougher.
Yes, because attention problem is the thing. And online is only, you have to be paying attention all the time to the laptop. So we had she and me, we both had and the teachers, we all are going through a very tough time. So I'm waiting for the school to start back.
I'm sure she's waiting more than you for the schools to begin.
She is.
And I think it's a collective thing that when is school starting and when can we get back to offline school? Because this online school has been challenging for so many children.
Right.
Not just children with difficulties, but even the neurotypical ones.
There's
so much screen time that is happening.
Yes.
And with kids with attention difficulty, even more, because I have lots of things to distract me. I'm one tab away from playing a game, figuring something out, and, trying different things.
Yes.
So it is like that.
Yeah.
I quite like how Parisa has her own YouTube channel and she's figuring things out and making things on her own.
Yes.
That, you know, like, okay, fine, this is tough, but I know how to channelize my attention to different things and, you know, make good use of my time and my distractions.
She has, we call her, granny soul inside her, because nowadays, one side she has a YouTube channel, on the other way she's making crochet, she's doing embroidery. So everybody is like, you know, what is she up to? Like, nowadays it's rare to check the kids doing all these things.
Yeah. And it's so amazing. She does such cool work. And like, I'm so proud of her that she's putting in all that effort. And I'm also so proud of you for encouraging both of them to pursue their dreams and not be like, oh no, leave that. You have to study first.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of parents end up focusing on padhai kyun nahi ho rahi hai? Padhai karna chahiye. This is more important, forget everything else.
Right.
But I love the way that, you know, you have encouraged each of your girls to pursue what they like, given them the freedom to like explore, figure things out for yourself, do what you want. But on the side, we are also going to study, we are getting the help and we are working towards it.
Yeah, we have to study. We can't leave that.
Yeah, we can't. So that is on. But please continue pursuing what you like to do, which is so important for an individual growth, for an overall growth for any kid, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's true.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners?
No, I think this is fine. But I just want to say one thing at the end that, you know, just accept, as I said, whatever the kids are going through, just accept and you cannot change them. So it's better to be positive and give all the positive vibes and confidence to your own kids. That is very, very important. So do your best and just best will happen to your child, I feel.
Absolutely. And I 100% agree with you on that one. So thank you so much, Preeti, for joining us. And I hope the listeners have gained some new insight from this interview.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to Inclusion with Mansi. If you've enjoyed today's episode, do share the podcast with your family and friends. I would love to hear your feedback. You can connect with me on my Facebook page or Instagram at Inclusion with Mansi. You may also email me at inclusionwithmansi@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Until next time. Remember to share our similarities and celebrate our differences.